Let me read a psalm before we get started here. Psalm 33 says this: "Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre." I don't know if we'll get any lyres in the band. Not L-I-A-R, L-Y-R-E. "Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the ten-stringed harp. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy, for the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything that he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. And the Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who will live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. The best-equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. So let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." You could applaud that. Don't tell me that the Bible isn't interesting. What that is, amazing words. You know, today is our annual Vision Sunday, so we get a chance to look back and see what God has done, celebrate his faithfulness and his goodness. And we're going to celebrate some of the highlights from the previous year, and we're going to look ahead to what God has planned for us in the coming months. God is doing so much in our church. He's doing so much among us, and we're only going to have time just to touch on a few things, and I'm pretty sure there's things that has happened, maybe to you personally, that God has done for you, or that we've done collectively, and I'm not going to mention it all. I'm pretty sure that I've tried, but I'm sure I forgot something. But we want to touch on as much as we can. So let me just remind you, before we go any further, of some of the things that we got up to last year. We saw more people giving their life to Jesus last year, saying yes to him for the first time. We baptized 6 people, and we've got 3 signed up so far for our baptism service at the end of March. We dedicated 3 children. 15 people went through the Alpha course. 28 people did the Freedom in Christ course. We did a How to Pray When You're Anxious course, a How to Read the Bible course, and our small groups who did the prayer course, Power Evangelism, Everyday Supernatural. Lorraine and I hosted 4 Connect parties for newcomers. We employed an administrator in our church office. We even got a new church office. FE Youth, some of the things they did a car wash, games in the park, bowling, a movie night, escape rooms, youth small group. They went to DTI, our National Youth Festival for the Youth, and they went to the first ever Scottish Vineyard Youth Weekend. The men played pool, they ate breakfast, they drove go-karts, and they did bowling. The ladies did nights in. They did craft nights. They did 2 coffee nights and 3 nature walks. Well, in the summer, Kenny ran midweek Bible studies through the summer. We did a teaching series on the parables. We had 7 different speakers from our church doing that. We did New Season Sunday. We did picnics every Sunday. Their senior pastors went on sabbatical in the summer. Across the Vineyard movement, we got involved in loads of things across our national movement. Some of our leaders in our church, we went out to the National Leaders Conference in Nottingham in January. We went to the Catalyst Vineyard Conference, which this year will now become the Scottish Leaders Conference. Some of our young adults went to Cause to Live For, again down in Nottingham. Ryan attended a Vineyard Worship Intensive for worship leaders up in Aberdeen. Our preaching team went to a theology workshop with Derek Morphew. Derek is doing the videos in our small group just now. Some of our ladies went to the Illuminate Ladies Conference in Causeway Coast, Northern Ireland. Our youth attended the Scottish Vineyard Youth Weekend. That event was run by Andrew Yule. I'm not sure how much he was expecting to be running it, but he ended up running it all weekend. One of the main speakers at that weekend was Jasmine Yule, our other youth pastor, and the worship was led by our Aidan Jordan. Well done, guys. We're still going. Our youth also went to DTI. DTI stands for Dreaming the Impossible, and that's the Vineyard's National Youth Conference. We would go and camp out in a big field, worship, praise, get wet, get cold, play games. Andrew, our youth pastor that you've met already, he's on the national leadership team for DTI, and he's also been appointed, along with Dave in Aberdeen, as they're leading the youth leaders in Scotland. He's like a regional leader for Scotland. Sarah Fowle and Heather Hughes served on the DTI team. They went and volunteered. And Aidan, again, led a worship, I think called Late Night Worship, at DTI to an audience of over 400 people. Yeah, well done. You're getting a lot of love just now. What else did we do through the Vineyard? Lorraine, Andrew, Kenny. Oh, that's me. I'm reading this, have you? Lorraine, Kenny, Sandra, myself, we attended two pastors' learning communities with our area leaders, Chuck and Tara and Freeland, up in Aberdeen. Ryan and Aidan went one Sunday to Carlisle Vineyard to lead worship there. Kenny went one Sunday to Stirling Vineyard to lead worship there. Lorraine and I took a team to Kirkcaldy, to Jim's small group there to lead worship in the ministry. And then some of us went down to Carlisle later last year to look at the prospect of doing a thing called Give a Day to the City, which is operated by Carlisle Vineyard. We also launched Love Falkirk. Yes. Love Falkirk replaced what was previously known as our storehouse ministry. The storehouse! for Scotland. We opened a food pantry at Camlin Juniors. We provided football chaplains like Camlin Juniors and East Stirlingshire FC. We placed workplace chaplains in local fire stations in partnership with Workplace Chaplaincy Scotland. Some of us attended a faith fair at Falkirk High School. Kenny provided sound and media for Falkirk Council education training at Camlin Community Centre. We helped deliver heaters when the gas went off in Larbert last year. Kenny and I both at different times went through to Leith Baptist Church to preach at Teen Challenge meetings through there. Sandra and Heather went to Myanmar with Eden. Larry and I went to Ethiopia with Compassion UK. And we commissioned one new church plant when we sent out Jim McManus. Yes. To Plant Kirkcaldy Vineyard, and they are holding their first Sunday service right now. And not surprisingly, having all done that, we also did CPR and defibrillator training with Larbert Fire Station's Red Watch. It's been a busy year, yeah? God is good. God is good. So when we planted this church 6 years ago, we captured what the Lord wanted us to be and to do in a couple of sentences. If I don't look back, that slide should be miraculously behind me. I love our media team, they do a great job. So we said this. We are a church in the community, serving the community, changing one life at a time. We're a Bible-based church with the aim of training and developing disciples and leaders to extend the kingdom of God. In our church, we want children, young people and adults to worship Jesus with passion, hear his word, be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, be made welcome, become part of God's family. We will take Jesus into the community to reach the lost, feed the hungry, and heal the broken. You can applaud that as well. This is what God, called us into. And if you were here at the beginning or near the beginning, you will know that that was a dream that we have seen become a reality. And this statement still describes what we do as a church. This is what we do. And today I'm just going to reflect on the last year and the coming year. And I'm not going to do it like a look back, then a look forward. We'll kind of look back and forward kind of simultaneously. But I'm going to look at this through the lens of what marks us out as a church and which describes the way we do what we do. And there's five hallmarks that I would say that we want to display in our character and in our behavior, not just as a church, but as followers of Jesus, as a people who love Jesus. And these five things are this: we want to be outward looking. You know, there's no point in having church just to be the church. It's not what it's designed for. The church is designed to be outward looking, to serve the world, to serve God, to serve the world, and to serve those that don't know Jesus. If we're not doing that, then we're inward looking. And if we're inward looking, we're not outward looking. But if we're inward looking, we become self-focused. And we concentrate on what we want and what we need, or what I want and what I need. But if we maintain our outward looking character, we will always focus on what others need. Isn't it interesting? That kind of reminds me of something when Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and equally to love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not loving others, if you're not preferring other people above yourself, you cannot love God. Our expression of love for God is seen through how we love other people. And that is an act of worship. That's just number one. Sorry, I'm supposed to just read these out. Outward looking, compassionate. We want to be compassionate, generous, servant-hearted, and to do things well. That's our five hallmarks. And our hope is that all of these aims describe everything we do as a church. Everything we do should hang on those five things. And we are passionately committed to generously blessing those outside of the church with compassion, humility, and excellence. Amen. Are you with me with this? Good. This can be interactive if you want. But guys, I want us to really kind of I really want to hear this. Like, this is who we are. This is who we are. This isn't a plan or my best efforts or Lorraine's best efforts or our leader's best efforts. This is what God has called us to do and to be. So let's look at through a bit more detail some of the things that we've been doing. These five hallmarks are best displayed in our compassion ministry and Love Falkirk. So look at those lovely guys out there. Our storehouse ministry was rebranded as Love Falkirk in June 2019. And Love Falkirk is led by Blair and Lindsay Henderson. And Love Falkirk works with Calm and Social Work in the main to provide food for families in crisis. And in Love Falkirk, we cover the following things. Come to this next slide. So we have our food pantry, which I'll talk about in a second. We support reunion canals. We provide Christmas hampers for families that would otherwise not have Christmas dinner. We have a partnership with Falkirk Social Work. We also have a partnership with Falkirk Community for Learning and Development. And Blair and Lindsay also oversee our ladies and men's events. And we've also, although it now stands as a ministry in its own right, our Eden Jewellery Ministry was birthed from Lindsay's vision to meet the needs of those further afield than just Falkirk. So these guys have done an amazing job when they picked this up about 3 years ago and have grown it beyond recognition. So what have we done? So let's look at Christmas first. So Christmas, we provided gifts for 45 children who would otherwise have had no Christmas presents. These gifts were generously provided through donations from you, from our friends, and also from a local business called Eden Moore Contracts, who for the past 3 years, instead of doing their secret Santa every year, they buy a gift and they donate it to our Christmas presents. For 3 years, I've done that now, and we're really thankful to them for that. Also at Christmas, £1,854 was raised to provide food for families in Cameron to have a proper Christmas dinner, including snacks and goodies for Christmas evening. For the first time in the money that we raised at Christmas, more than half the money raised was donated by people outside of Falkirk Vineyard because we set up a Just Giving page. So, again, you know, this is great to see that isn't it great when people outside the church become our evangelists? So that's great. So we're delighted about that. And this Christmas, we will partner with Calman Social Work again to provide gifts and food for children and families that they identify as most in need. And here's an idea. Wouldn't it be great if we were able to do that for more communities across Falkirk? Not just Calman, but to do that across Falkirk. In June 2019, as I've said, Love Falkirk launched a food pantry based at Calman Juniors Football Club. The food pantry provides a shopping experience for families that are working their way out of debt. These people come along there, they pay £2 a week to receive 15 grocery items. There, and it's set up like a small shop. We received funds of £1,000 from Falkirk Council, which has allowed us to rent the space from Calman Juniors to purchase shelving and a refrigerator for chilled foods. The food pantry and our donations, or your donations to Love Falkirk, also provide lunches for the volunteers at Reunion Canals. And increasingly, we're also donating food, which I would describe as close to use by date, to Katrina Morrison from Falkirk Community Learning and Development, who runs cooking classes across Falkirk for adults who are vulnerable, alone, and struggling. This part of Love Falkirk, the Reunion Canals donations, and the working with Katrina at Falkirk CLD, this is operated by Lynn Walker, one of our unsung heroes. And Lynn faithfully... Lynn faithfully, every week, more than one day a week, makes sure that these, the volunteers at Union Canal, by the way, are vulnerable adults, and a lot of them have learning difficulties, and they have bad diet, right? They don't always eat well, and Lynn makes sure that every week they at least get a good lunch going in there every week, and also she makes sure, she sorts out all the food along with Michelle, who volunteers with her at the food pantry, to ensure that this cooking class for vulnerable adults and lonely people, that they're getting good food. And actually, if you see some of the food that's made in these cooking classes, it would blow your mind. So Lynn, we honor you. Yeah. You are amazing, and we thank you for what you do. And the continuation of what was previously called Storehouse continues to meet the needs of families in crisis as Blair and Lindsay make up groceries and take them to social work or directly to the homes of the receiving families. Again, a lot of this stuff is unseen. They are doing this at least once, twice, maybe three times a week for help. They like to measure their success in number of meals given out. So if you look at this slide, in 2018, we provided 4,536 meals through Storehouse. Love Falkirk last year gave 11,676 meals. That is an increase of 157%. So this wasn't just a rebranding exercise. You know, this was God telling us to think bigger, to go bigger, and do more. So Guy, can we just honor Blair and Lindsay? I didn't realize people loved getting singled out so much. I should do this more often. Okay, let's have a look at another. Small groups, courses, and our teaching program. So last year, we did some restructuring in how we do small group. We set three terms of like 8-week blocks to bring an experience that placed quality over quantity. So interestingly, we probably meet less as small groups, but I think the quality of what we receive has improved. And I think we did achieve that we got quality over quantity. What we have seen this past year is that by doing this, our small group leaders have benefited from having at least 4 weeks of a gap between terms. And I think anyone who's led a small group will appreciate that getting a gap between terms, a good gap, is worthwhile. The groups are more concise in terms of the length of the terms and their focus because they have a clear starting point, week one, and a clear ending point, week eight. And small groups last year were our best attended ever in the history of Falkirk Vineyard. So we're taking that as a win. We're taking that was a success. And we also added in the mix our courses. These are designed to develop discipleship, faith, and persistence in our pursuit of becoming more like Jesus. We ran two Freedom in Christ courses, an Alpha course, a How to Pray When You're Anxious course, which was written by Kenny, and a How to Read Your Bible course, which is also written by Kenny. This year, we will again run two Freedom in Christ courses, which are now, we've moved that to midweek, which has freed us space up to do other things on Sunday evenings, which at the moment is our prayer meeting. So that space has been freed up so that you can attend prayer on a Sunday night. The Freedom in Christ course is ongoing now, and we've already completed a 4-week How to Read Your Bible course in January, which we may run again later in the year. We plan to run Alpha again in the autumn, and we also intend to take the prayer course that we did in our small groups last year and the Everyday Supernatural study and package them up as courses, which will be available as part of our discipleship program and track going forward. The prayer course actually should be running just now, but we cancelled that plan because we decided rather than doing a course in prayer, we'd just meet on Sunday nights and pray instead. It's a good course then, isn't it? Do you like that? That sounds really clever, doesn't it? But we've done this because we believe that God is going to bring revival to Scotland, yeah. And he's going to bring it to Falkirk. Yeah. And if we're going to see that, we have to pray. We have to pray. We begin with prayer, and then everything will be born out of that. So I would encourage you, we're here at 6 o'clock every Sunday night, 1 hour, and we just go for it. Yeah. We go for it. We have no agenda. We just pray. So just go for it. So I encourage you to come to that. Also in our teaching, just want to give a few minutes to talk about our teaching last year. Our teaching or our preaching became our main focus for last year. That was the thing that we wanted to pursue excellence in and improve and get absolutely right. Occasionally, I'll listen to talks that I did a while ago. And amongst all the pearls of wisdom that I hear myself saying, there are also things I wish I hadn't said. It's incredible. You go back just 3 years and you think, what were you thinking? But you know, this is a really important thing because when we stand here and deliver a sermon or a talk, you will likely believe what is said. You might even write it down. So it's important that what we are teaching is the truth. And I don't think we were not preaching truth, but I think we realized that we had to pursue and be deliberate about the fact that we want to preach the truth of the Word of God. So towards the end of 2018, God reminded me that as a pastor, my priority is to teach His Word faithfully, truthfully, and accurately. And in the Vineyard, our practices and what we believe are based on what is called kingdom theology, that God is the king and that his kingdom has come and that his kingdom is coming. And last year, we consciously designed our teaching in church, in small groups, in youth, in kids, and in church to be, I missed one out there, church, small groups, youth kids, all those areas, we wanted all the teaching there to be immersed in what Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. And by the way, our kids' curriculum is brilliant. And if you're serving in FE Kids, I would say you're receiving teaching that is at least as good, if not better, than anything you hear in this room on a Sunday morning. The teaching in kids is amazing, and they are learning what we are learning. So we designed all our teaching across the whole life of our church that way. So how did we do this? Well, Lorraine and I have known probably like forever that in Kenny, we've got a really smart guy in our team. And Kenny reads, understands, and communicates the Word of God far better than most people I have met or heard. So we decided to make full use of his gifts and his talents. So we got him to develop and structure the Acts series that we did last year, and the small group curriculums, and he's also authored our How to Read the Bible course, and he did the How to Pray When You're Anxious course as well. And he has done and is doing and will continue to do an amazing job. So thanks, Kenny. So that was the first thing. We thought, let's get the best guy for the job in place. That was the first thing we did. We also then established a core preaching team of Lorraine and myself, Kenny and Nikki. And ahead of each teaching series, our partner now is that Kenny researches and develops a structure of what we decide or we believe God is wanting us to say to the church every year. And he researches and develops a structure or a direction of travel, if you like. And this year we've planned in our diaries for the four of us to meet for two or three consecutive days to learn whatever our next series is going to be. So I just want you to be aware, like, we're not just turning up and giving a subject and somebody preaches. We are sitting together as a team of four, and he works as hard. He works us really hard to make sure that we know that what we are saying and what we are speaking out is both truthful, accurate, and faithful. And our desire is to never stop learning, to never think that we've seen it or heard it all before. See, if we have a mindset of, I know this stuff, I've heard it all before, do you know what that does? That will harden your heart. That will harden your heart. The Word of God is so vast that we will never fully understand it. There is always something to learn. God is so vast and so extensive, there is nothing that we can do that would make us fully understand who He is. So we want to stretch ourselves, but we also want to stretch you and increase your hunger for the kingdom of God and for the Word of God and for the people in our community. And we want to do this because revival is coming. Revival is coming. And I say, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When revival comes, people look for God. But in looking for God, what they look for are God's people. And I want us to be ready to receive hundreds, if not thousands, of people in our community to show them who Jesus is by the way we live, and to be able to teach them and model to them what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. You see, when we are doing small groups, courses, or we're teaching here, or the youth are teaching the teenagers, or the kids leaders are teaching the kids, we're not doing it because this is good stuff to hear, or these are good morals for life. No, this is life. This is life. And we want to be ready to do and to receive what God's doing. Amen. Amen. Good, good. Okay, worship. I don't really say anything about worship. You saw it all this morning. Psalm 150 says this, "Hallelujah. Praise God in his holy house of worship. Praise him under the open skies. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise with a blast on the trumpet by strumming soft strings. Praise him with castanets and dance. Praise him with banjo and flute. Praise him with cymbals and a big bass drum. Praise him with fiddles and mandolin. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why our worship is loud. And we have incredible worship in this church. And I want you to know that what we experience here every week in worship has become normal for us, but it is not normal. And Ryan, we have a worship pastor who sets the tone and example for our worship leaders and our worship team, and also for us. We have worship leaders who are gifted and anointed to lead worship. They are worshipers first, musicians second. They teach and model to us how to worship God. Last year, Ryan went to a worship leaders intensive in Aberdeen, which is for more experienced worship leaders and pastors there, so that he was being able to rub shoulders with his peers and learn from them. As I've already said, Aidan got the opportunity to lead worship at DTI in front of 400 people, and also led worship at the Scottish Youth Weekend last October. You know, we've had Elena leading worship at DTI as well. We don't do this because we want these guys to be great entertainers. We want them to do this because we want them to be working with the best, learn from the best, and bring it back home. I would never want any of us to go to a conference and then come back to church on a Sunday and think, I wish I was back at the conference because the worship there was amazing. I've actually been to conferences and I've actually thought, I can't wait to get back to church on Sunday because our worship's far better. And at the Scottish Leaders Conference in a few weeks' time, Ryan, Elena, and Jonathan Barclay are going to be part of the worship team at the Scottish Leaders Conference as well, along with some of the guys from Catalyst Vineyard in Aberdeen. So we're delighted with that, and we will continue to invest in these guys and watch this ministry develop. Ryan, as we sang that last song, is a song that Ryan and Aidan wrote along with a guy called Dave Miller, and our songwriting in this church is off the scale. These guys do an amazing job with that. And then going forward, we want more. We just want more of this stuff. It's great, Ryan. You know, oh dear, I hate when I do this. Lorraine and I and Ryan and Nikki, before this church was established, we used to dream about our worship, what our worship would look like. And this morning, like, we're living that dream. Yeah. We pictured it, loud, expressive, declaring, bringing, like, ushering in the Holy Spirit because our hearts are bursting for God. Like, and you guys are doing that. And we dreamt that. And then we see it happening, you know. So good. Let's encourage Ryan and thank him. Ryan also oversees our sound and media guys. So our media team is Eden, Susan, Stewart, and Gavin. And our sound guys are Keith, Lovemore, Eric, and Blair. Eden is now overseeing and kind of leading the media team. He's on this morning. And Keith there is overseeing the sound team. And again, these guys, never let it be underestimated what these guys do. These guys are also worship leaders in our church. A couple of years ago, we improved our kit, so our sound and our media is good quality. I would say it's high quality, and it adds to our experience. We want everything clear visually, and clear in sound, so it minimizes distractions when you're worshiping God. Bad music, bad sound, bad words, bad visuals will take your attention away from God. This is why we want to do things well, but it's all about drawing our attention on to God. So well done to those guys, those guys as well. Youth, we've heard a bit of these guys already. Andrew and Jasmine Yule are our youth pastors. As you can see, they're a happy bunch. Where is he? Happy Ethan sitting in the front row. So our FA youth is from ages 12 to 18 years, or P7 to 6 year. And we have our youth pastors, and they lead a team of about 8 people. Our youth meet in the first and third Saturday of the month. They do games, activities, and they also worship. They teach the Bible, and they pray together. Youth church last year was happening twice a month at the same time as the main service, where someone from adult church would go in and give a talk to these kids. And again, we've already mentioned this, but our youth attended Vineyard Church's national youth event for 12 to 18-year-olds called Dreaming the Impossible, and also the Scottish Vineyard Youth Weekend. And of course, we have a youth small group, which was established last year and is on every Thursday during small group terms. I'm running out of time, so I just want to encourage you, speak to Andrew and Jasmine, and speak to the guys in the team, and ask them what's going on around their kids. The stories coming out of their small group particularly is off the scale. We have our youth bringing their friends who don't know God to small group. Our youth are doing that. They're not embarrassed by what God is doing in their lives or in our church. So we thank Andrew and Jasmine and the team for everything they do there. Okay, our kids' ministry is called FV Kids. Our kids are not only taught the Bible, but they're taught how to live for God. They know that they are loved, and they are encouraged to love others as God loves them. Lois has been our kids' pastor for almost 3 years, and she has excelled in the role with great passion, enthusiasm, and love for our kids. And after a lot of prayer, consideration, discussion over the past few months, Lois will be stepping down from her role as kids pastor today. Oh, I know. She has our full support in this, and we're all agreed as a leadership team that this is the right time for her to take a step back. We're delighted to say that Lois will continue as a leader in FE Kids on the team, so she will still be an integral part of our amazing kids team. So we just want to bring Lois up to the front. And Lois, we just want to thank you for your amazing passion for our children.
You're making me cry.
You are responsible for so much in our kids' lives, and they will continue to live for God because of what you've done. There's things that you and your team have set in place in their lives right now that will stick with them for eternity. So we thank you for that. So Lorraine, we thought we'd get you flowers. Didn't know what else to do. So. Okay. Just gotta grab a seat now. So what happens now? We don't have a kids pastor. Well, we believe that God, in his graciousness, has raised up a leader to take over from Lois. So we are delighted to tell you that, with immediate effect, our new kids pastor is Rachel Smith. Rachel has been working very close alongside Lois over the past year, and we have watched her grow into a wonderfully gifted leader that God has made ready for this time. Rachel has an exciting and ambitious vision for FE Kids, and we are confident that our children will continue to develop and fulfill their God calling under her leadership. So we ask you to lovingly support Rachel as your kids' pastor and to encourage both her and Lois through this change. And Lorraine, I want to also thank the FE Kids team for your commitment and your sacrifice that you teach and model Jesus to our children. You are raising a generation of God's children, and what you invest in them now will shape them for the rest of their lives. Never underestimate how valuable and crucial you are to us, to our church, to our kids, but most of all, to our great King. You will notice that today, and has been happening for every kind of second week, that we've had some of our kids in the service. And the reason for that is because we are under-resourced on our kids' team. And we've taken a decision that rather than work our kids' team harder, we're bringing the primary schools and age kids in every second week. Now, we don't want to do that. We want them to be doing what they should be doing out there every week. But that's where we are. So we're just asking again, guys, if you think being on that kids' team means you're missing out in church, you are gravely mistaken. What happens in those rooms is spirit-filled and incredible. It's inspiring. And I've spoke to a few parents this week, and they're talking about that, using the words as, my kids are teaching me. So I would urge you to speak to Rachel, and she will give you everything you need to know about why you should be on the kids' team. So, Rachel, why don't you come forward? We just want to honor you as well. Well done. Okay, and we're going to Lorraine and Lois, if you come, we're just going to ask Lois just to pray a blessing on Rachel as she hands over.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come, just fall on Rachel right now. Lord, we thank you so much for Rachel, for who she is, and for what she's going to do for our kids. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you for the woman that you have created Rachel to be, mm-hmm. in your image. And Lord, I just pray for an increased creativity, mm-hmm. An increased enthusiasm for teaching, and Lord, an increased enthusiasm for your word. Lord, I just pray for Rachel that as she steps into this role, Lord, that you would just be there ready to embrace her and to equip her with everything that she needs. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to fill Rachel just now because you have everything she needs. Lord, I pray that you would be always just sitting with Rachel, just whispering in her ear and guiding this ministry. And Lord, we give this ministry to you. We give these kids over to you.
Yeah.
And we thank you, Lord, that you are gracious and that you are faithful, faithful mm-hmm. Father. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we just pray for Rachel. Mm-hmm. As a church, we lift her before you. Mm-hmm. We thank you for her. And we ask, Lord, that you would increase her anointing. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just pray that this ministry would take off, that mm-hmm. the kids would be doing things that we could only dream of. Mm-hmm. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well done. Okay, there you go. That's that business done. Well done, guys. So good, so good. Okay, we're tight for time. I was going to speak a bit about Eden, but I just want to show, put the Eden slide up. Put the Eden slide up. Okay, I'm just going to show you one slide, and I think it speaks for itself. This is our jewelry sales last year and from the year before. Okay. Heather and Sandra have taken Eden to new heights. We're now the UK ambassadors for Eden, so their part of their role now is to extend the Eden ministry across the UK. But they have pursued this with passion and with strategy. They've built a good team around them. And this money goes directly to young women and girls who have been trafficked into slavery and prostitution in Myanmar. And all this money goes to ensure that they can make a living, because this is a business, and they are taken out of life of abuse, desperation, and hopelessness. So ladies, thank you. For everything that you've done, we absolutely love it. Okay, just a quick slide, to look at a slide for attendance here. So this has been our attendance over the past 4 years. So we have seen a leveling out of average attendance for the second year running. We are still welcoming new people into our church on a regular basis. We see new people come all the time. And I just want to remind you, Jesus said, I will build my church. Present tense. I will build my church. And he also said, that part of the building process comes with the act of pruning. So growth only comes with pruning. And occasionally we see this, this is visibly expressed, this pruning is visibly expressed when people decide to leave our church. And pruning isn't pleasant. It's actually painful. It causes Lorraine and I, because you personally, some hurt. But we know that, you know, God is in what we do, and we trust that God is directing us and others into where he wants them to be. And we love this church, and we love you. This is where God has called us to, and we want everyone who experiences Falkirk Vineyard to love it. I mean, we do. We want them to love it. And our desire is that you wouldn't only identify yourself as being part of this church, but you'd be an active participant in God's vision and what he's doing here. And I'd say we don't really have this up now, I don't think, but we used to have a four-word thing saying, we want to belong, to serve. Sorry, you want to come, to be here, to attend. Don't find other things to do on a Sunday morning. Don't prioritize anything else. Be here. We want you to belong. Get in a small group. Join a course. Come to the prayer meeting. Make yourself available. Serve. Get on a team. Volunteer for Love Falkirk. Don't wait or think or expect that someone else will do it. And we also want you to give. Give financially. It's all part of our worship. And we're excited what God is doing in Falkirk Vineyard. I mean, it's been great what we've heard, hasn't it, what God is doing. And we've seen in the past year amazing stories of salvation, healing, and encouragement, because God is building his church. And he's refining and equipping us for revival. And I believe that the Spirit of God is poised to move in a powerful way in this church, in Falkirk, and across Scotland. I really believe that. I see through friends and colleagues in other churches in Scotland a grown hunger not to settle for what we have, not to settle for decline, but to go further and to go after a closer, deeper, life-changing relationship with God that will change the atmosphere of our nation. I'm going to go over time here. Somebody want to just let the kids team know that we're... Right, thanks, Andrew. So I've got a couple of other things to say. Just a couple of other groups of people that I just want to just quickly honour. I just wanted to know that we have a leadership team in our church that support Lorraine and I. So Andrew's just went out, so you're going to miss him. But if you're in a leadership team, would you stand quickly? There he is. There. Oh, dear, eh? The privilege of rank that Ryan gives you. So I just want to honour these guys, and you can stay standing for this. I just want to honour these amazing people who support Lorraine and I in our highs and our lows, and our successes and our celebrations, and in our pain and in our despair. And I tell you, we chose well when we chose you guys to be with us and to do this journey with us. We just want to know that we love you, and we want you to keep doing this. Okay, so you can sit down, guys. Thank you very much. Also we have a board of trustees for Falkirk Vineyard Church. For the past 2.5 years, we have been running by a board that's been myself, Dan Rouse, Susan Weekly, and Bill Sharp. Bill has just recently stepped down, so I just want to personally, Bill, thank you for thank you for the season that you served in, because it was a significant season for us in terms of Lorraine's employment, Kenny coming on board, and Ash, our administrator. So I thank you for that. Thank you for being a great friend. I'd also, we have now appointed, so Bill's stepped back, but we have appointed 3 trustees just over the past few weeks. So if you're a trustee, would you stand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And me. I'm one of them as well. So, but these guys are ensuring that we are legal, I don't know what else you're doing. What else do you do? But they make sure that things are run properly in order, that we are regulated by the law and by regulators, charity regulators, and these guys make sure that is all done properly. But also, they are amazing people because they're so supportive of the vision that they bring, and we bring the vision to them and say, guys, going to make this happen. How do we make this happen? So we thank you. I thank you personally for your support and your love, not just for business, but for the mission and the vision of the Church of Jesus Christ. You are worthy. Thank you. We honor you. These two teams are robust. If you know any of these people, none of these people are shrinking violets. They are not yes men. And we love that. Our discussions are honest and passionate, but we all love this church. And they push Lorraine and I when it's required, and they hold us back when we get ahead of ourselves. These guys are our friends, but why wouldn't they be? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. He goes, I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends, using the authority of Jesus, our master. I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. It's important for us and our teams, our leadership, that we are in relationship, that we are friends, and that we move together as one. So we thank these guys for that. And thank you for allowing Lorraine and I to make ourselves accountable to you. And thank you for making yourself accountable to us. Okay. We need to look at finances because it's Vision Sunday. So this is, I'll go through some of these slides quite quickly. So this is our income. So the blue box or the blue columns are this year or the year just ended, and the red column is from the previous year. So the regular giving is standing orders that come directly into the bank. Any cash or checks that are used put into the gift aid envelopes. They are, so it's standing orders and funds that come in through the envelopes. So we had a decrease of £6,000 on regular giving last year. The next column, one-off gifts. This is when someone gives the church a sum of money that is outside of or in addition to the regular giving. We have seen like miraculous generosity from people as they've given thousands of pounds to our church in one donation. Last year, our one-off gifts were £1,900. But it's a significant drop. The previous year, our one-off donations were £43,000. We've seen a significant drop-off there. The next column is other giving, and that's all that is the cash that comes in the basket, just the loose cash. So we £8,700 in the baskets last year. So that's an average of £174 a week. That we had, and again, there's a slight drop in that. We were averaging £216 a week the year before. Next column, gift aid, is money that we can claim back through gift aided money. We can get 25% claim back from the government of what you give if you're a taxpayer. And again, obviously, the gift aid that we can claim back is totally in ratio to how much giving we get all in from there. Events. That's commonly our events. It's just what we receive in ticket sales, donations to DTI, but this is money that comes in and goes straight back out. So that's not really part of our funds. Love Falkirk, exactly the same. This is donations, the hamper money, etc. That money comes in and goes straight back out. And Eden is the money that comes in from jewelry sales. That comes in and goes straight back out. So those three don't affect our finances. In fact, if anything, we pay into those things. So that's our income. Our expenditure. So we spent that massive figure at the top there last year. So this is how our expenditure is broken down. So our staff costs, again, the blue column is year just ended, red column is the year before. So our staff costs, so in the previous year for the red column, Kenny would have been employed in that year, so we only had part of his salary. And Lorraine is now working a day more. So we've got a full year's salary of Kenny in the blue column, plus an extra day for Lorraine, and also our administration assistant is in that column as well. So we've seen an increase in staff costs. Our donations, so this is, again, what we'd have paid out to the Eden jewellery sales going back out. Anything that comes in from Love Falkirk goes back into the community. And also what we tithe as a church. So although we've seen a decline in our income, we've actually increased our giving. We've went from 10% to 15% because we felt that God wanted us to be generous when, and in fact, it's good to actually display the gift of generosity and the spirit of generosity in tough times, in harder times. So that's our tithes there. And also, we would also include in that donations that we've given to the two football clubs who have had chaplaincy, and also we give money to Falkirk Community for Learning and Development. And ministry, that's money we spend in worship, youth, kids, small groups, courses, DTI, conferences, and any training that we send people on. Also, Sunday morning costs, we'd include in that as well. Travel is self-explanatory. It's reimbursing people when they're traveling for things, courses or whatever, or conferences that are connected to the role that they have in the church. And then finally, our spend on admin and business. That's our church office costs, insurance, accountancy fees. There's licenses we have, health and safety, safeguarding. All those things are included in that. Next slide. This is what we gave last year from our what we'd call our tithing. So the top column is it was to Vineyard Churches UK, so we donate back into the movement. Love the One is a charity that we've donated to there and based in India. This is two female paediatricians who for over 10 years now have basically packed up, sold up everything they've got and gone to India to save children's lives and bring the gospel to the people there. We gave £1,700 to Kirkcaldy Vineyard to help them get launched. We donated £2,500 to the Vineyard in Scotland. The Vineyard in Scotland, we have now planted an average 3 churches a year. We believe as a church, as a leadership in our church, that we want to invest in that and support that, and we want to be a part of it. You know, we've had the joy of seeing Rachel and the team from Stirling going out last year. We kind of commissioned them, didn't we? Hey, Hannah, sorry. We kind of commissioned them under the radar there, and we did it properly with Jim. I've loved doing that. Absolutely love that these guys come in here and we kind of incubate them for a wee while and then we send them out. Absolutely brilliant. And then we donated £1,000 to Quiet Waters, which is a Christian counselling service in Camlin. And we love to support these guys because they do, again, an amazing job under the radar for God's people. Okay, so just a couple of historical things. This is our income over the past 5 years. So going to the far left is be year ending 2015 across to the year just ended. So you see we have some fluctuation. The two columns that are the tallest are the years that we've had significant one-off donations. So that has kind of gone up and down. In our expenditure, next slide, this is how we have spent over the years. Great days back at the beginning, wasn't it? Man, we just used to rock up at the Green Park Centre for whatever was £40 a week, and that was all we did. So... yeah, and then obviously we've grown more ministries, staff, etc. We've seen the expenditure grow. And then the next slide just shows in those same years our income in blue and our expenditure in red. So as you'll see from those columns, in this first 4 years, we've lived within our means. Last year is the first year that we've actually spent more than we had because we had funds in the bank. However, this is not sustainable. What happened in 2019 is not sustainable. That gap is huge, and this is where our funds are sitting at the moment. So we estimate the end of March, that's how much we will have in the bank. And if we continue to spend at the rate we're spending, which is considerably more than we receive, that we are going to go into a funds deficit by September. We've invested in ministry, mission, and our pastors and our administrator. And when I look at a slide like this, this doesn't look like my God. See, my God is not a God of diminishing returns. My God is not a God who oversees decline. My God is generous, abundant, and extravagant. My God meets our needs through his provision. My God gives to each of us what we need and more than enough to bless others and invest in his work. We are addressing this issue by moving here. By the way, I meant to mention this. So we're moving here. We have made the decision that we have now based ourselves here. So we won't be going back to Camlin Community Centre. It looks like that is closed now for the foreseeable future, possibly permanently. But we need to bring some settlement to this. So we're going to continue to meet here. But by moving here, we will save £3,500 a year in rental costs. And we've also reviewed our business and admin costs and are about to implement changes that will save us £5,000 a year. So over those two things, that's an £8,500 saving. So we think we are now as lean as we can be in those areas. So that leaves our spending on ministry, mission, and salaries. We are not in the business of cutting back on ministry and mission. That is not going to be what I said before. We are outward looking, compassionate, generous, servant hearted, and want to do things well. So that just leaves our staff costs. Our staff costs are our biggest overhead. I would also say that we have great value in our staff costs. And I believe that God has and will provide what we need to keep going and to keep growing. And I've got to be honest, as in the past couple of years, we didn't really contemplate that we would see a reduction in our tithes and offerings. Because why would we? Why would we? We're a generous church, aren't we? Or are we a church that has some generous people? You see, we can be part of a generous church without being generous. You can belong to a generous church without being personally generous. And I want us all to live in the blessing of what God has for us. And if we are not investing in the work of God and in his kingdom, then we are not receiving the full blessing of God. Lorraine and I, our leadership team, and our trustees all give at least 10% of their income, most of them more, into this church. And it is important to me that I am able to say that because I want us to set the example and lead from the front. And I love the heart of our leadership team. When I presented this financial situation to them recently, their reaction was, do we need to give more? But these guys are our biggest givers. And you may think that as leaders, we should be giving generously, and I agree with that. But it is their generosity of spirit that makes them leaders. So the question that our leaders ask of themselves is the question we should all be asking, do I need to give more? This is the fifth time in the past 12 months that I've spoken about financial giving, and we have seen some that are already giving increase what they give. And there's also been one or two who have started to give regularly that previously weren't giving at all. And we thank God for that, and we are grateful for that. But I know there are many who do not give, and I find that heartbreaking. Not because I want your money, but because you are missing out on the blessing of God. This is part of your worship. This is part of being a disciple of Jesus. This is part of your outward looking. Being outward looking isn't just our church looking out to the community. It's about us as individuals looking outside of ourselves. And if we're harboring what we have for ourselves, then God will not bless that. But if we give away what we have, which actually already belongs to God, then he will bless us and bless us abundantly. And I can't make you give. Five sermons in 12 months has proven that. And I certainly cannot and would not enforce that upon you, because it is between you and God. But what I will say this, if you give or you don't give, if you serve or you don't serve, if you support me and our leaders or not, if you give or if you take, we will serve you, We will provide for you. We will train you and equip you, and we will love you, and we will help to make you a disciple of Jesus. See, it's not about the money, because we'll do it anyway. And we're, as the trustees are having to make some, well, have some difficult discussion over this. And we're having to consider personally about our own livelihoods. But it's not about that. Because even if I had to leave this and do another job, I will do two jobs. I will do this job and another job if I have to, because this is what God has called me to do. I don't want to do that. And I don't want Lorraine to do it, and I don't want Kenny to do it. And we also have another employee, we have an administrator as well, and we need her. I mean, you have no idea how much we need her. That has been, you can talk employing pastors all day long, but she has been a gift from God. So thank you, Ash. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, puts it this way. Show me where you put your money and I'll show you what you worship. See, where we put our money is where we worship, because our money, where our money goes, shows our true heart. Your eyes like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And the light you think you have is actually darkness. And how deep that darkness is. Because no one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough today. God wants the best for you. I want the best for you. I want to bless you, and I want you to bless me, and I want us to bless others. Our vision for 2020 is simple this. I want us to be ready for the Lord coming. I want us to be ready for the Lord coming. But if we are not fulfilling our covenant with God, he won't come. And you might think, Andrew, God, sovereign God, can come as he wants. He can, but he set a covenant with us. And he's told us if we do not meet our terms of our covenant, then we will not see the blessing that he has in store for us. Remember the story of Moses at the Red Sea? You can put that last slide up again, please. This is our Red Sea. There is promise, blessing, prosperity, and abundance on the other side of this. When the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea, they did it together, every single one of them, no man left behind. They weren't miraculously transported from one side to the other. They didn't fly over. They went through, and they brought everything with them that they owned. And on this side of this graph, what I see is hopelessness, despair, and disappointment. But haven't we also seen God's blessing as we've looked back in last year? Yeah. Haven't we seen what God has done and what God is capable of? There's more of that on the other side of this. Yes. So guys, I am asking, if you truly love your Father, if you are a child of the King, if you believe that God has called you to this church, that we are your leaders, and that this is your church family, and that the mission that God has brought you into is in this place, then give to this church. Give to this church. Because we can't survive without you. Or we can't survive as we are without you. And if we don't have our employed pastors, a lot of the things you've been celebrating, particularly in our teaching and our ministry, will slide. Because this is what we do. And finally, I was thinking to myself, what do I love in life? I was thinking, like, you know, and I thought, well, I love my wife, so I thought I should start there. And I thought, when I married Lorraine, we entered into a covenant, and everything that I have, I gave to Lorraine, and everything that she has, she gave to me. Did you know that marriage is a picture of God's covenant with us? And that when we join with God, he gives everything to us, and we are to give everything to him. So my heart this morning is not to make you feel guilty or make you feel bad, but to say, guys, why don't we, let's do what God has called us to do. Let's worship him more than just with our words, and let's not love each other just by saying, I love you. There's people in this room who do so much for me that if they never told me that they love me again, I would still know they love me. It's not that I need to hear the words, but it's just nice to hear, isn't it? But love is an action. Loyalty is an action. Commitment is an action. So let's do this, and let's do it together. Why don't we stand?